Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
It's 9:30. Do you know what time it is? It's time for the Coffee Break Chat on WICC.
All right, it's Monday. That means we connect with Lieutenant Jim Perez, Fairfield Police Department. Crime on the mind. Lieutenant, how you doing today?
Good morning to everyone. How are you?
We are doing just fine. Melissa's here as well. Say hello, Melissa.
Hey, Lieutenant. Hello. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing just fine, thanks. I know that you mentioned, Jim, that there was, I totally missed this, there was a crash or something involving a family that had an infant involved as well. What happened?
Well, you know, this woman driver was apparently with her family in her car. She was attempting to take a left turn, so she was really waiting on a northbound lane on Route 58, just waiting. And apparently a distracted driver came from the southbound and was trying to avoid another car because he wasn't paying attention and ran right into this family's car, injuring three children. They all went to the hospital. In the beginning, it was very scary because we didn't know what it was, you know, what the injuries were. I mean, it appeared serious, but my understanding is they went to the hospital, they got checked out, and everyone turned out to be okay and not gravely injured, which is a worry that I always have. But, you know, I want to talk about something that's very important along those lines. People assume that when they see a double yellow line, right, and when you're passing a car, they assume that everything's okay and that they don't have to pay attention other than to look straight ahead. When the actual reality is you have to have 15 eyes and consistently be looking around for unusual behavior in cars because people are that distracted. I mean, it's crazy. In Connecticut, and I want you to think about this, since 2015, there's been over 33,000 crashes in Connecticut alone involving distraction driving. 45 of them resulting in fatal crashes. I mean, this is serious. You know, think about for a second the years before electronics. You know, all you got to do is just listen to the radio and basically drive. And today, with the advent of smartphones and people constantly being connected and calling you, the texting can be disruptive. People putting on makeup because they're in a hurry, getting to work could be disruptive. People messing around with other electronics. I mean, these are like serious things. Connecticut takes it so serious that they don't allow anybody under 17, 16 to use a phone at all, even if it's a Bluetooth connected phone, other than for emergencies. But the rule should be, and there are many ways to kind of avoid it. You know, there are apps out there that you can put on that will literally, you know, disable your phone while you're in the car, although a lot of people are hard-pressed to do that because they feel like they have to be so connected. But it's a problem, and so people need to be aware all the time, especially when you're passing the car on the double yellow line, you know, when you're in a separated lane passing a car. Don't just assume that the car is going to be okay. The other thing I tell people all the time is when you approach an intersection, even though you have a green light, you really should take a quick peek left and right as before you actually cross the intersection because of the distraction thing. There are some people that might not even see that red light and plow right into you.
I think far too often, it's funny that you mentioned that at the end because I was thinking about this, Lieutenant, and maybe I'm wrong. Obviously, we do talk a lot about distracted driving, like you said, cell phones or eating or putting makeup on or changing mm-hmm. a CD, whatever the case may be. But I think mm-hmm. too often, because I still see it now, where I think we're too trusting. You know, there's plenty mm-hmm. of people who are trying to, just for an example, pulling out of a gas station, let's say, and they've got to cross to the other side of the road or something, but you're going to have to go over the lane of traffic mm-hmm. that's right next to you, whatever the case may be. I have seen mm-hmm. people where they look and the car stops for them and they're like, come on, go ahead, go on, mm-hmm. go on mm-hmm. ahead. And they're like, okay, but there's two lanes of traffic. And if you don't exactly. look the other way, why are you trusting only one lane? You know what I mean? And I think that yep. happens far too often. Like you mentioned with the green lights, just because it's green doesn't mean everyone else is totally intact.
No, and your example is perfect because I'll tell you, what you're doing is you're just like I tell people in my like active shooter class or my personal safety class, I tell them, don't trust your security to just anybody. You know, make sure you do your own research. It's the same thing here. Don't trust that person becomes a traffic agent for a few seconds and tells you to come on, you know, as if it was a police officer telling you to go, because that's not always accurate, you know, and so you need to be very careful when you're actually pulling in. I'll tell you what, if the first guy tells you to go and he's stopping, pull into that lane if you have to. You know what I mean? But I wouldn't trust that. I would just let them, I would just wave them on and wait until the road is clear enough. I mean, people, you're right. You know, we want to be trusting and we don't want to be, you know, negative. But at the same time, you have to take responsibility for your own self and your own family, and you have to look beyond what we put out there in the form of traffic signs and signals and things like that. You still have the responsibility of looking around and making sure that no one's coming.
Lieutenant Jim Perez with the Fairfield Police Department. It's 9:36, doing Crime on the Mind. And we're talking a little bit about just safety in general and being on the roads. And besides distracted driving, we do know that this month is also awareness for making sure your kids' car seats, things like that, that your kids are secure. Mm-hmm. So in the situation that you saw this past weekend, was there anything that this family could have done, or are there ways for us to be proactive to make sure our kids are safe, especially in a situation where you don't even see the accident coming your way?
Right. Well, this family was doing exactly what they should have been doing. They were all belted in correctly. They were literally just waiting there to make a turn. And then out of nowhere, danger strikes. And that's why I say that you have to be very careful. You just have to be very aware of your, hyper aware of your surroundings. And that means ignoring the phone if it rings. You know, ignoring that text message if the tone comes through, and just not looking at it and understanding that your life is a lot more valuable than just that text. And, you know, I guess, you know, being in law enforcement for so long, I think that people just sometimes they forget how fragile life is and how fast that life can turn on a dime. You know, one minute you're fine, and the next minute you go out to get something to drink, or you go get milk, and then boom, you're injured. You know, or you're gone. I mean, it's sad. It's sad, and it's morbid to think that way. But the reality is, that is the truth. And so I think that anything that we can do to actually help ourselves and be there for our families for a long time to come, we should be doing. And that means, you know, downloading a smartphone blocking app. So when you're driving, it won't come on. You know, turning phones on silent. Or you know what? Better yet, get rid of the phone. Throw it in the back seat or somewhere where you can't get to it right away. Purchasing a hands-free component if you want, like a Bluetooth, which would be, you know, very good for those that are 18 and above, because a younger driver is not allowed to even use that. You know, but more importantly, if you're going to do your, you know, prepare yourself ready. Do it at home early before you come out. Don't do it while you're in the car. Drink your coffee at home instead of in the vehicle. You know, make sure that, you know, that you take care of those things around you, that nothing's loose in the car, that when you turn, it's going to distract you and you're going to make an attempt to try and stop it. You know, whether you're transporting food or anything else, make sure that it's all in the back seat and that you don't leave the front seat open if you can and unobstructed. That's probably the best advice. But more importantly, don't answer that phone, and don't fall into the lull of having to respond to every text while you're driving. First and foremost, the most important thing is your behavior, your safety, and the safety of those around you. And keep in mind that, you know, you can get into serious trouble. I mean, if you get into an accident, you can be involved in a negligent homicide. You can be charged with manslaughter, misconduct with a motor vehicle. I mean, these are all serious charges, and they can result all from your answering a text or answering a phone call. And don't forget that all those things are recorded. So even though you think you might erase it from your phone, it's actually not gone from the system. So if we do an investigation and it's going to be revealed, all these text messages and all these phone calls are going to be logged somewhere, and they're going to be revealed, and you will be held responsible.
Yeah, it always stays in the cloud. Always in the cloud. That's what, my head is in the cloud, Lieutenant. Question of the day.
Yeah, so should you go to prison if you, I keep saying the college admissions scandal, but really, if you basically cheat any school admissions. We were talking about this morning how the sentencing finally came down for actress Felicity Huffman, and she's now going to be in prison for 14 days. She's paying a $30,000 fine. She's doing 250 hours of community service. Now, on the opposite side of the spectrum, we heard about the case that happened in 2012 where Bridgeport mother Tanya McDowell, she served 5 years behind bars after she put her son through the Norwalk School District. She used a friend's address, basically, even though she lived here in Bridgeport, to put her son into a better school system. And she did five 5 years. So there was a lot of controversy, but at the end of the, or I guess at the core of it all, my question was, should you even go to prison? I mean, is it really something where you get locked up with drug dealers and with murderers and rapists? I mean, is it really necessary to go to prison? I said no. Tony said maybe for like the 14 days. He didn't think a year was necessary or anything beyond that. But I don't know. Prison time? I'm not sure. So we let you guys be the judge.
All right. Well, Christine says, I'm puzzled. Why does the law work differently for some people? I guess it all comes down to who you are and what your status in life is.
That's what a lot of people, I think, thought the same thing, Christine. Carl said, it is a white-collar crime, but a crime nonetheless, and should be dealt with according to judicial guidelines.
Now, Paul has a very good point. He said, no, but their children and their children's children will not be admitted to any school for years to come. I don't know if they won't be admitted completely, but they're going to keep a close eye on those scores and on those tests. And,
yeah.
You know, it's going to be difficult.
They almost have, like, the red flag, like, hey, you know what, this name or something like that. I mean, what's sad, the only thing with that is... you know, their children's children. Like, I look at, you know, if we were ever in that situation, I'd be heartbroken that I wrecked it for my kids. But I mean, I guess that comes with the punishment. You can't be cheating the system. Carol says, yeah, they broke the law. They should go to prison. Their children should be retested, admitted if they meet the standards for that school. I do not believe the children should be punished because of their parents' sins.
Okay. Gina says, when you pay $500,000 to get your child into college, yes, you need to go to jail. When you are homeless and your child needs to go to K through 12. No, I'm on the fence with that one, Gina. I agree with you. You know, maybe they should have given a little bit more prison time to Felicity Huffman. But in the case of this homeless woman, she still broke the law. There's still a problem there. You know what I mean? We just can't say, oh, well, you're homeless. Okay, that's punishment enough.
Right. Well, and I think it kind of brings us back to, all right, if we're going to talk about that it's a racial issue, if it's a fame issue, if it's a money issue, well, isn't that just the same thing counterintuitive? You know, if we give more to Felicity Huffman and we took away from somebody else, isn't that basically kind of the same thing? I mean, everyone should be treated equally, basically. And I think that's what a lot of people are saying. And I think Gina's onto something there. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think it should be kind of that gray area of, well, for one person it's this and for another it's that. Laura kind of ended it with saying it really all depends on the situation. I don't know. I think it should kind of be, but that's not how the law works, it feels like. I mean, they feel like the law gets bent for whoever you sort of are at times, or it's really, this is the way it is for other people.
Well, I said it earlier this morning, I think in the case of Felicity Huffman, the 14 days is fine, but make her live like a regular person. Make her, you know, say that for a year or 6 months or whatever it is, she's got a clean bathroom. She's got to clean the toilets. She's got a vacuum. You know what I mean? She's got to do things.
She has to work for what she did, which is what your children should have done, worked for their college admission.
Where I believe some of these celebrities, if they had to do what regular people do every day, they would wilt. Mm-hmm. They really would. They would wilt. I think so anyway. I mean, it's not an easy thing to every day do what you do. Get up, go to work, come home, take care of a child.
Right.
You know, clean the house, make dinner.
Right. There's no maids. There's no help.
Right.
So, you know,
right.
Well, there's my mom.
Yeah.
I will say, because I know my mom's listening and going, hey, I just watched your kid for 5 days while you went on a cruise. So there's that. But no, you're absolutely right. You know, just like kind of give them a sense of reality that they don't live on a daily basis, you know?
There you go. Okay, so a lot of things going on. Let me tell you something about this woman. I have never seen anybody work so hard at their craft. She's on 2 hours a day, but she gets here like 6 o'clock in the morning
it's important.
The prep is longer than the show.
It is.
All right? It really, really is. But you do a great job, and I am so very glad you're here. What do you think of the Felicity Huffman situation? I mean, do you think she got away lightly? Was that a slap on the wrist?
No, I don't think it was a slap on the wrist. I think anytime somebody is sentenced to jail, it is a real minority of the time that people are accused of things. So I don't think it was a slap on the wrist. Was it in proportion to what she did? Probably. But when we look at nationwide criminal justice, we have a patchwork and we have a lot of injustice. And so it's very hard to always fine-tune and properly meter the remedy for the crime. No, I don't think it was just a slap on the wrist. In fact, I think it was a warning shot to Lori Loughlin that she's going to get a lot worse.
Oh, I think Lori Loughlin's in a lot of trouble.
A lot of trouble.
I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if she's on. My wife and I call it the tonic. It seems to me that she's on something because she's got a big smile on her face.
Always.
And I don't think she understands the severity of what she has done. She thinks, when I look at her on TV, it comes across like this is all a publicity tour.
Like
for
a
her.
Joke.
Yeah.
But don't you think it's a plastic smile? It's like her reflex, like other people may have a regular impression on their face, and she doesn't. Like, maybe she was like, smile for the camera since she's five, and that's the only way she knows how to be.
That could be. That could very well
be. A frozen smile, a fake smile.
But she's in a lot of trouble.
But it's a pretty smile.
It certainly is. I mean, really, both women, very good looking. But that doesn't excuse them from what they did.
No, but Bernie Sanders and all these big deal politicians are comparing the injustice right here in Norwalk of Tanya McDowell to what's going on with the very rich and successful people in Hollywood. And that's an important conversation.
But Tanya McDowell, and correct me if I'm wrong, and don't anybody take this the wrong way or whatever. Tanya McDowell, this isn't her first offense.
No, she was, that's true. She was known to the police for drug offenses.
Yes.
She was living in a homeless shelter, even though she had a son. Her life was by no means together. But, adding insult to injury, did she need to be charged with larceny for trying to steal her kid a better public school education? For a lot of people, that's just like the best book ever written, A Tree Grows in Brooklyn, with mm-hmm. Francie Nolan.
Yes.
So you remember Francie Nolan, how they put down the wrong address so she could get a better education in Brooklyn?
Mm-hmm.
So for a lot of people, that smacks of a parent trying to give a kid a better shake.
But Lisa, it's wrong. You know what I'm saying?
No. There are a lot of things that are wrong. The question is, do you go to jail for them, Tony?
Right. Yeah, but
there are a lot of things that are wrong.
My question is, are they taking everything else into consideration, the drug charges, and there was something else in there, and I don't know what it is.
I don't remember because the newspaper accounts only talk about the drugs.
But I think there was one other thing. Are they putting that all together? And
that's why they gave her the bum sentence?
Right.
Well, the truth is, Governor Malloy in 2013 changed the law with the legislature. So clearly in Connecticut, we felt that there should be no jail time imposed for that kind of a wrong.
Okay. All right. Okay. I bow to your greater knowledge. Absolutely.
So it's no longer something you can go to jail for.
Right, right. Okay. All right. Okay. It's off. It really, really is. So we'll see. In the case of Felicity Huffman, I was talking about it on the air. Let her live like a real person for a whole year.
I don't know. Is she capable?
I don't
know. when these people have so many flackies and so many yes-men.
I know.
Men and women, in positions of power all the time.
Yeah.
They are literally blinded to what everyday people go through.
Yes. Yes, and they just don't realize.
They don't see it.
They think everybody lives like that,
They think the rules don't apply to them.
Right, exactly. And the thing that made me, I went like this when I read it, wow, was when Huffman's daughter said to her, you didn't think that I could do it?
Isn't that awful?
Didn't you trust me? Why would you?
The worst possible lesson a parent could teach a kid. Oh. You're incapable.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That must have really... Because I tell you something. I don't know these people from Adam, but that kind of tore my heart out.
And the irony is that most actors and actresses, as a generalization, do not have a fine public school education. The instances of a Meryl Streep at Yale are very, very rare.
Oh, sure.
Most actors and actresses, frankly, never really went to school at all.
Mm-hmm.
They did their thing on the boards. So for them to acclaim higher education for their own children, it's their own vicarious wishes, Tony, half the time. It's because they weren't students.
Right, right. Very good. All right. Yes, yes. And they want to live exactly vicariously through
their children.
They
want the legitimacy of the children that they didn't have in real life.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Very good. Well, these are some of the things that Lisa talks about. These are some of the things that Lisa gets here at 5 o'clock in the morning to prep for. Hey, I heard you on the news. You're talking about the Garlic Fest that's coming back. That retired for a little while, did it not?
I know. No, it absolutely did. And I know you probably know a little bit more about it, Tony. I was familiar with it just because I live around where Notre Dame High School was when I was growing up. But Father Bill, He used to raise money for a scholarship that he's put into place for students who can't afford to go to Notre Dame High School. And that was the reason behind the Garlic Fest originally. But after he, it went away, and he recently passed away. So they kind of brought it back in his honor, which is really cool. And we were excited. We got to talk to the principal at the school, Chris Cipriano, and he gave us a lot of insight, and it sounds like it's going to be a really fun time. It's coming up Friday and Saturday this week.
I know personally, just because I grew up in Fairfield, my parents actually live right around the corner from you guys, and my cousins went to your school, so we're very familiar with the Garlic Festival, which is coming up. Tell us, for anyone who's not familiar, though, what's the Garlic Fest all about?
Well, the Garlic Fest is really a community celebration of garlic, and it was the vision of our former principal and our former president, who just passed away this February, Father Bill. Father Bill was certainly an institution in the Bridgeport area and our longest serving principal here at ND. And back in 1992, he had this vision to bring a garlic festival as a scholarship fundraiser to Notre Dame. So he went out and visited the original festival out in California and brought the concept back to ND, and they started the first festival in the gym, and over 10,000 people showed up that first year, so it quickly had to relocate outside, and it was under a tent for many years and really became a one of those events that took everybody into the spring season. It was always held that first weekend of May, with lots of food and live entertainment and good drink, and eventually had a kids area, and it really grew bigger and bigger until in 12 years later, they stopped doing the Garlic Fest for a few reasons, and we thought that it would be a wonderful tribute to Father Bill to bring the fest back this year in his memory and raise money for his scholarship fund that we now have here at the school. So we're super excited that in 2 weeks from today, on the 20th of September, Garlic Fest will be back here at Notre Dame.
Well, first of all, our condolences to Father Bill. You're absolutely right. He was a staple in our community and did amazing work, especially with your school. So our condolences to you guys, because a tremendous loss, that's for sure.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Chris, but you answered the question. I was going to say, why garlic? But it stems from something out in California?
It does. The huge festival that they have out in California, Father Bill thought his Italian roots, he loved to cook. Obviously, garlic was used in many things. I was very fortunate to eat many of the dishes that Father Bill cooked over the years. He was a great cook, and he wanted to have a whole festival centered on garlic, and it worked. Over the course of the festival, over 12 years, there were well over 100,000 people that came to Garlic Fest, so it certainly was a popular event.
That is so cool. Right now, we are talking to the principal over at Notre Dame High School in Fairfield, Chris Cipriano, and talking about the Garlic Fest. So, you don't have to go into detail about it, but I know you said that it was gone for a few years. So, did people miss it? I've got to imagine. I know you're bringing it back for Father Bill, but it was something that you guys had for quite some time.
It really was, and I was just a young second year teacher at the very end of Garlic Fest when it was last year. But through the years since, it comes up all the time. Garlic Fest and Notre Dame almost became synonymous, almost as if Father Bill and Notre Dame were synonymous with one another. It was a very popular event in the area. So people have always asked, why don't you do Garlic Fest anymore? Can you bring the event back? So we've gotten a tremendous reaction from folks when we've mentioned that Garlic Fest will be back. So we're hoping that translates into a great crowd, and the goal is to raise money for Father Bill's scholarship and provide financial assistance for the students who want to come to Notre Dame.
I was going to say, what's great about this is that it all kind of goes back to your student body. I mean, it's supporting students who want to have, that education that's offered at Notre Dame, but maybe can't afford it fully. And this funds those scholarships, which is incredible. I do want to ask, what are some of the things that we can look forward to at Garlic Fest? I'm seeing here food trucks, vendors, entertainment. It all sounds like a great time.
Yeah, we do have a great lineup. So on Friday the 20th, the fest will run from 5 to 11. And then on Saturday the 21st, it's an all-day event from 11 to 11. And on both days, we have live entertainment throughout the entire festival. On Friday evening, we have two great bands performing. On Saturday, we have performers, some dance studios, three bands performing in the afternoon and the evening. So there's live entertainment throughout the whole day, both days. We have a great food lineup. Everyone from the cannoli pie company to Michelizzi's will be here with garlic ice cream and other flavors as well. Carl Anthony's, and we have some seafood options, Abo Seafood and Cousins Maine Lobster. We have M&M Steaks coming and Snappy Dog. And then Notre Dame is providing some food booths. So we'll have the garlic fries, which were really a staple of past Garlic Fest. We'll have pizza frites and bruschetta. Stoli is a sponsor. So we're going to have Moscow Mules. We're going to have a full lineup of beer and non-alcoholic drinks. And then we've got vendors here as well. So Margaret's Marrow and Danny's Pantry, the Herb Basket, Christopher Ranch, Big Sky Garlic Farm, Impognito with flavored popcorn, and we have a kids area as well. So we'll have face painting and a bounce house and balloon animals and lawn games. It really is designed to be a family event where you can come get some entertainment, get some great food, have a drink. The kids, there's an area for the kids as well. So Notre Dame's a community school. We want this to be a community event, and we're looking forward to hopefully seeing some faces from the past and really seeing everybody have a great time over the two-day event.